In today's episode of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, I'm talking with somebody I love, a former colleague of mine, Adrian Haynes, and she is so incredible. You're going to love this episode. She's going to talk about how our 200 seniors earned over $26 million, that's right, $26 million in scholarships. What an awesome college experience looks like, how to take time for yourself, and how to measure and provide incentives through healthy competition. P.S. There's a golden nugget, too, about college signing day. Listen to the end for that one. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Better Leaders, Better Schools listeners, today is a really, really special day for me. This is the second colleague that I've got to interview. And her name is Adrian Haynes. She is such a gift to the Brooks community, which I left. And now I'm serving in Houston, Texas at Memorial Middle. But was a college counselor at Marion Catholic High School. She's a coordinator for an academic center and IB program at Morgan Park. And I met her as a fantastic, absolutely fantastic counselor at Brooks College Prep, top school in the city in the state of Illinois. The reason why I brought her on the show, I think she's just so amazing in terms of interpersonal skills and relationships, connecting with both kids and adults. But you guys, the listeners, are really going to freak out. Listen, we were able to earn over $26 million dollars for our seniors in terms of scholarships, and she is going to give you the keys of how you could do that with your students today. So Adrian, thank you so much for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Adrian, tell me what inspired you to pursue a career in education.
Well, I had a really great background or experience growing up in Chicago. I attended Chicago Public Schools, and I had phenomenal teachers. I had phenomenal counselors and just a really great support system in terms of family, a family of educators. I also had a really great experience in college. And so when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to serve my university, the University of Missouri, as a college admissions counselor and basically recruit phenomenal students from the Chicago area. I basically wanted them to have an awesome college experience like I did and just know that anything is possible and to really reach for the stars. So that's what got me jump-starting my career in education.
Unpack that idea for me of an awesome college experience. And what does that look like for you and what you're trying to provide for your kids?
You know, I think it looks somewhat different for every student, just in terms of demographics of school, whether they're looking for a large school, a small school, if they want to stay close to home, if they have a really specific major. I mean, you know, a student looking into marine biology is probably not going to want to be in the Midwest. They probably want to be on a coast so they can get that real life experience. And so I think every student's kind of criteria for what they're looking at or shopping around for colleges, that criteria varies for students, you know, across the country. So it's really something that's specific to a student. For me, I really wanted to be close to home, but far enough away that, you know, my mom wasn't popping up on Sundays to take me to church.
That's right. Okay.
But I wanted, you know, I wanted that big college experience with football games and tons of organizations for me to get involved with and a variety of majors. So I found that at the University of Missouri. And I think that students have so many options to really narrow in on a school that's the best fit for them.
You know, and I don't know if Missouri considers Illinois a rival, but we definitely consider you all a rival. And
oh, we consider you guys a rival. No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Even though this rivalry exists in this podcast and we're at about 3.5 minutes of recording, I'm going to let you continue.
I appreciate
it's tough, but I'm gonna move past my own.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. Hey, Adrian, how do you describe your own leadership style and how did you develop it?
You know what? I think I've had such a variety of experiences from, you know, I've worked at a public school district in the south suburbs, but it was through it was an alternative school. And so I worked with students that were really at risk and just forming relationships with those students and those parents to kind of help them pull through and get the education that they so badly needed and deserve. And just forming relationships along the way, I think that that's key as far as leadership is concerned, is forming relationships with your stakeholders. And I've been able to do that with each position that I've held in my educational career. So just putting people first, I think, is kind of what drives me as a leader.
People first is exactly the right attitude to have. And, you know, we all hear and we know that forming relationships is key, I think, to being an influential leader. What does that look like for you? How do you go about forming strong relationships with your peers?
I think it kind of, it depends on who it is. I don't think that relationship building or maintaining is kind of a one size fits all deal. I think you kind of meet people where they are. And so, you know, and not everyone is as outgoing as maybe I am and willing to have a conversation. And I think you just kind of have to feel people out and see what their comfort level is. But I really enjoy that process and getting to know people and what makes them tick. So I don't know. That's kind of a difficult question for me to answer, to be honest.
That's okay. That's okay. It's tough. I mean, you're right. It is so personalized, you know, almost like personalized learning. One size definitely doesn't fit all.
Absolutely.
Maybe I should rephrase it like this, though. Are there certain things that you do yourself in terms of personal development? Mm-hmm. Or I don't even know necessarily the word I'm going for, but, you know, is there something that you do to prepare yourself? Yeah. Even though that approach is going to be different with those you work with, but that you know that you're at your best to serve everybody despite where they're coming from.
I would say that, you know, I try to get as much information on people as I can. And so, for example, in a school building, you know, what is this person's role? Who do they, you know, interact with on a daily basis? What do they bring to the school community? And I think letting people know that they're valued is key in forming relationships. And also seeing, like I said, what makes people tick, what their interests are, and kind of diving in that manner. And I've also found that sometimes people just want to be heard. And so just listening can really get you a long way versus a lot of times you think in order to get to know someone, you have to have a conversation. Well, sometimes all you have to do is listen. So I think listening is key as well.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I'm going to see how I can use that. By now, this podcast is out and I've been a principal for a few months, but I want to come with that type of heart, right? I have ideas of what makes a high performing school. And of course, I could create a plan and say, this is the way mm-hmm. we're going. But I think it's going to be much more powerful if I listen, truly listen and hear right. what people love about the school and where they want to improve and then try to fuse the two together. So that listening is so key. We'll see how it goes. If we're still,
I'm sure it'll go well.
Okay, that sounds good. If the podcast ends, you know, it's January, that sort of thing. It didn't go so well, and I guess I'm running for my life.
I don't foresee that happening.
Well, if that did happen, that means I made a terrible leadership mistake, and I don't want to let you off the hook. And I want to know what has been your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Oh man, you're really coming with these good questions today.
That's what I do.
My worst leadership mistake. You know, the school that I was at when I was IB coordinating went from kind of a school within a school model to a whole school model in terms of implementing the IB program. And I think one of the things that I could have done differently was kind of what we just talked about, maybe sitting down individually with each of my teachers that I worked closely with to see how they felt about the change individually. We met in departments and in course teams and grade level teams, but I think maybe sitting down individually with each teacher, setting aside that time to see what their concerns, their fears, their needs were, might have kind of helped to ease the transition. So that's one thing that I think I should have done that I didn't.
And you've had a number of roles and served in many different communities, so you've seen a lot. What advice do you have for principals that are walking into a school, novice principals, and what would help them be successful?
What would help them be successful? Really taking the time to get to know your staff. People like to, like I said earlier, feel valued and feel appreciated, and not to say that, you know, you're going to be friends with your school leader, but it's nice when your school leader knows things about you, knows that, you know, you have a family at home or that you are pursuing, you know, another degree or something like that. Just really getting to know the people that make your building run and just kind of trying to connect with them on a personal level, I think will yield just a better sense of collaboration and connection to the school leader. I've been in schools where, you know, I didn't feel connected to the principal, and I've been in schools where I felt extremely connected to the principal. And so that made me want to work harder for that individual.
Unpack both of those. So what was it that the principal did or did not do to establish that sense of connection?
One of the schools that I was at, when I first started, the principal came down to my office and just had a conversation with me. You know, obviously we had gone through the interview process. I was offered the job. I started the job. And about 2 weeks into the job, the principal said, "Hey, do you have a few minutes?" And came down and just said, "You know, what are your goals personally, professionally? What, you know, what makes you tick? What do you enjoy doing? You know, what do you like about this school? What can we do better?" And so I felt at that moment like, A, I was really a part of this community, and B, that my school leader really cared about me and my opinion. On the flip side, the school that I was at, we were without leadership for a little while, and then we finally got a school leader, and that individual didn't seem to take much interest in staff. It was kind of a, it was kind of a cold kind of had a cold demeanor and wasn't very approachable. And so it just kind of, you know, set the tone for the school year initially. You know, the lack of interaction and the few interactions were just negative. And so that, I think, set the tone for people's morale in the building.
Do you remember that icebreaker activity we did that you won beginning of last?
I do.
So let me explain it real quick to the listeners, and then I want you to share like how you won. I was so surprised because you knew nobody, but you actually had a strategy for winning, and it really, really impressed me. I think that's why I became a big fan of you since day one. But this is how the activity goes, listeners. So this is just ice breaking, and it just helps you form connections with your staff. And so I asked everybody to come to a meeting with one item that they found very significant, that was very personal to them. You know, stuff that, you know, they might not have shared, right, with other community members before. And so everybody comes to, let's say it's in the library, wherever your professional meeting space is, and people give you, the facilitator, the item, and then you can make just a little like note card or, I don't know, sticky note or whatever, put a number on it. And it has to be completely anonymous. So let's say you got 10, 40, whatever. You got all those numbers, all those items, and you give everybody just a sheet of paper that they number, and they have to guess which item belongs to which staff member. You score those, and whoever gets the most correct, they win some type of prize, whatever you want that to be. And the people that, you know, give the item, they get to stand up and say, "I chose this item because of this reason." And it's just a really great way to see people from a different perspective. So I enjoyed that activity a lot. Adrian won completely brand spanking new to Brooks. And how did you win?
I was observing people. I checked out how people moved about through the library, checking out the items that other colleagues had brought in, and people ignored their item. They walked right past it. No one would pick up their own item and inspect it. And, you know, the point of the game was to throw people off. So I picked up my item and I played with it and I looked at it. And you know what I mean? In my mind, I'm thinking like, you don't want people to be able to know that that's your item. And so I just observed people and what they did and what they didn't do. And so I was able to guess. I don't think I guessed everyone, but I had more correct than any other staff member. And it was literally my first day on the job.
Yeah, that was amazing. And there's leadership lessons there for you too, listeners. And a lot of times it's super powerful to observe, obviously, what people are doing and what they're saying, but it's equally important, sometimes even more important, to really observe what they don't do and what they don't say. And I think that's huge, and that's why Adrian won that game.
Woohoo! And I won an awesome gift card. That was great.
What's one class, Adrian, that we should add to our schools that isn't currently taught that you know of?
Great question. Well, you know what I find is, and this is kind of generic, but one of my favorite classes in college was public speaking. I don't think that you can get away in life without being able to speak publicly, whether that's to 30 people in a class, whether that's to 100 people on staff. You know, when you work in a school, maybe you're doing a PD. Even if you worked in corporate America, to, you know, do a training if you were a bank executive or something. And I think that's something that really freaks people out. And people really lack confidence in being able to present information. They could know it like the back of their hand. They could recite this stuff in their sleep. But to get up in front of people and present information and have dialogue and interactions with individuals, I think our students in this generation, they lack that. And so I would love to see public speaking be something that all students have to do.
Yeah, it's weird. That's something that I've never really been afraid of. I love giving huge talks to massive amounts of people. It could be an auditorium or some type of coliseum filled with tens of thousands of people. It would not faze me. I love it. But that's a huge fear for people. So I think you're right on point that, you know, to be able to practice that in authentic settings would definitely, absolutely benefit our students.
Definitely.
Adrian, how do you avoid distractions and stay focused? What boundaries have you set up to help you be successful?
You know, that's something that I actually really struggled with in the past. And not that I'm perfect at it now, but I had to find a way to, you know, if you're super stressed out, pulled in a thousand directions, distracted, tired, you're no good to anyone. If you're not healthy and present and able, then you're just no good to anyone in your building, to your students, to your parents, to your staff, to your school leaders. And so I'll never forget one of my first days at Morgan Park, or on my first day at Morgan Park, I went the entire day from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. I didn't eat. And I didn't go to the restroom one time. I didn't go to the restroom one time. And if you can imagine, this was before air conditioning in the school. I'm drinking all this water because it's hotter than heck in the school. But I was running myself ragged on the first day of school. On the first day of school. I went home and I was distraught. I was tired, exhausted, cranky. And I said, I can't do this to myself anymore. You have to take time for yourself. Even if it means just closing your door for 10 minutes to regroup, to either get organized or to eat a snack or, you know, to play a game on your phone, if that's what helps you de-stress, you have to practice self-care. You have to.
Yeah, self-care is huge. And communicating, I think, too, what you do and why you do it is really important as well.
Right.
You know, when people learn from you that you give permission to yourself to take care of yourself,
correct,
right? That also, you know, connects to others as well. And it's just great modeling. Share with the listeners what the counselors do in the office to communicate that they're out of the office.
Oh, so we have kind of these laminated signs on our door that have magnets so we can change them out. And so the magnets have what we're doing. We're either, you know, testing, doing individual counseling, doing group counseling. We could be in a meeting. We could be out of the building at a meeting. We could be at lunch, at the restroom, in the library, in the main office. So we literally have about 20 different magnets that can go on this sign. And we basically just flip the arrow to where we are. And the reason that we did that is, based on a needs assessment, we found that students felt like counselors were not available. And in speaking with students, it kind of eases their anxiety to know, okay, my counselor's door is closed. I don't see, you know, he or she in the office, but their door says that they're in a meeting. So I know they'll be back. Or their door says that they are just, you know, just at lunch. So I'll be able to catch them after school. And so it's really important for us to be transparent about, you know, where we were, what we were doing, so that students and parents would feel that, you know, we were being open and honest about what we were doing, but that we were also accessible to them. So I think students and parents and even staff members have really appreciated, you know, knowing what's going on and where we are.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated it because I come down there, lunch again, they're at lunch again. No. But it was great because it helped me understand where people were at, you know.
Right.
And it helps you too, you know, like as a leader, shoot, as a student, you can form good strategies like making appointments, right?
So definitely.
A lot of times if you're running in there and it's an emergency, there might be legit emergencies, but probably, I don't know, I want to be nice. So I'll say 85% of the time, it's just an emergency because of a lack of preparation potentially. So if you got that planned meeting, you know, then you know you got that special time with your counselor.
Definitely.
Love it too, because, you know, the needs assessment, seeing what kids really need and then responding to that is incredible. And Adrian, if you get time to do this, if you could take a picture and email it to me.
Sure.
I'll add that to the website when this releases, and then people can see like how you did that and steal that wonderful idea.
Definitely. I'm more than happy to do that.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show.
So now we're going to dig in. I'm going to really be quiet and just learn from the master. We talked about 26 million, you know, over 26 million awarded to our kids. This is not a huge class. We're talking just over 200 students. I think it was 203. So it's a small senior class earning a tremendous amount of money.
Sure.
So Adria, just walk us through the steps as specific as you can, how school leaders can serve their kids and get the same or similar results.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm not sure about every school district in the country, but in Chicago Public Schools, we are aiming to get our students to find the best fit college for them and to be able to go off to college and have that paid for. So that doesn't add that financial burden and stress to the family. We want our students to not only go to college, but to persist so that they stay, so that they graduate and get the education that they need and deserve. So scholarship dollars are huge in our district and at our school. And so our principal wanted us to beat our record of last year, which I believe was about $15 million. I think it was right at $15 million. And so we set the goal as a department to help our students earn $20 million. That was the goal for this year. And what we did was we decided we wanted to get our students and parents engaged and excited in the scholarship process. And so we know that there are those automatic merit awards. So, you know, you apply to Dan's alma mater, University of Illinois, and if you've got certain grades or ACT score, you might get an automatic award that is merit-based.
They got to be real high, real high. Real high. There.
And there are a lot of schools that give those automatic awards, but we know that not everyone will qualify for an automatic merit award, and that there's a lot of money out there from different organizations and companies that are giving scholarship dollars away to students. And so we wanted our students to seek out those opportunities. So what we did was we created a scholarship competition, and the scholarship competition was broken up into two phases. You can't get scholarship dollars if you don't apply for them. So the first phase of the competition was for scholarship applications. And what we did was, one of the things that we did was we hosted scholarship completion workshops. We would close down what we call the Cube at Brooks, which is the college counseling center. Have computers, flat screen TVs, really cool furniture, a bunch of different pennants from colleges and universities. And we would close it down and kind of make it a VIP center for our seniors only. So they felt very special to be able to go into the Cube. There's no underclassmen there. It's all theirs. And so they would come to the Cube. And we would have a list of scholarships that had pending deadlines, upcoming deadlines, that they could work on. And they would get credit for coming to what we called the scholarship zone. And we ran that 2 days a week. We also have the Brooks Seminar Program, and our students would meet with us, our seniors would meet with us for senior seminar, and we would have lists of scholarships and different databases that they could go on to search out scholarships and basically create a profile. You know, my name is Adrian Haynes, my GPA is this, ACT score is this, this is the major I'm looking at, and then a list of scholarships that they qualified for would generate, and they could apply for all of those scholarships. So we really wanted to encourage them to apply. The money is out there, but they had to do the work. One of the incentives that we did for phase one of the scholarship competition was free prom tickets. So the advisory with the most scholarship applications by a certain date won free prom tickets. And that's huge. That's something that, you know, you can control right in your building. Doesn't, you know, take up too much in terms of resources. And it's something that the kids were really excited about. So when it got down to the wire, advisories were really kind of getting kind of feisty about this competition. So, and it was my advisory that won, advisory 605. So woo woo, A605. So that was phase one of the competition.
Wait. That's so good. And so, you know, the listeners, I encourage you to go back the last couple minutes, replay that, steal all those incredible ideas and try to implement that at school, because our kids were served so well because of our wonderful counseling team. Everything that they had set up, from creating a special place in the cube, right? No underclassmen, seniors only, to work on their stuff.
Seniors only.
That's right. The seminar program, which basically it met every other week, right? Right, Adrian? The senior seminar?
Correct. Every other week.
So that was a special schedule that we had at Brooks. We were on block schedule, and every other Wednesday we had a special day. It only went to about 12:15, so it was a half day. And teachers taught from their passions. So they might teach yoga, robotics, natural hair, salsa, anything like that. And additionally, we also force some students, like seniors, they have senior college knowledge. And then, last part too, with the competitions, and have that healthy, positive competition to push each other, to do well against other advisories and within the advisory, to earn as much as you can. So that's fantastic. Go back and listen to that. Steal the ideas.
Steal our ideas. We're happy to share them with people. And our kids really loved it. They really got into the spirit, especially within the advisory. You know, we would go into the advisory in the morning and say, this is where you guys are at. You know, such and such is leading the pack with 23 applications. And so it would just kind of get that healthy competitive spirit going. And, you know, people would say, well, I don't want to be the only one. You guys need to, you know, pick up your end of the bargain and, you know, come on and help. So it really sparked conversation and a lot of energy in our seniors. And even with our advisory teachers, our staff got really excited and involved as well. So that was nice.
Yeah, and kept the focus there too. So everyone, like you said, talking about it, kids, they could see it with the thermometer and the reports that you created. It kept it in the front of mind.
Right. So speaking of the thermometer, so what we did, and I can also send a picture of this so you guys can see it. So phase one was applications. We had to get the students to apply. Phase two was actually the amount of dollars that students at Brooks were awarded. And so what we did was we created a bulletin board that's right at the entrance of our school. So everyone passed, anyone that comes into Brooks, they passed that bulletin board. And it had a thermometer that kept track of our scholarship dollar total. And we would change it every week based on the awards. And so students were to bring in copies of their acceptance letters as well as their scholarship awards. And we would enter their acceptances into Naviance, which I'm sure a lot of schools are familiar with. And then we had an internal scholarship log that each counselor would enter in the number of dollars. So I'll give you an example. If Daniel Bauer from, you know, got a $10,000 award from University of Illinois, I'm not going to say I-N-I.
I-N-I.
So if Daniel Bauer got $10,000 to go to the University of Illinois and it was renewable for 4 years, then he had $40,000. And so each student, the spreadsheet would have each student's name, advisory, ID number, the college or university or the organization, for example, Coca-Cola or the Pullman Scholarship or Jack and Jill of America, so on and so forth. So it would track the student, the organization, and the number of dollars total over the course of 4 years. And we would update that thermometer on the bulletin board. The other thing that we did was to incentivize our students was we did a weekly announcement. So every Friday afternoon, I would get on the intercom and give the weekly scholarship competition update. And I would say, you know, with a grand total of this many scholarships, this advisory is in the lead, but our overall total is $10 million today or $20 million today. And that really got the faculty, the staff, the students really energized, hearing every week our numbers go up and up. And what we also did was we did a drawing. So students that brought in those scholarship award letters, students that came to the scholarship zone, they were entered into a drawing for a gift card. And we got gift cards to really cool places that teenagers love. So Subway, Buffalo Wild Wings, iTunes. What's some other cool stuff that we did? A lot of food, a lot of electronic type things. But the kids were really excited because they would have a $25 gift card, the chance to win a $25 gift card every Friday. And then each winner of that gift card, we would take a picture of them and their face would go on that bulletin board in the front of the school. So, you know, kids are super into selfies and Instagram and Snapchat. So to have their face on the bulletin board was everything to them.
We are all into that. I would love my picture all around the school too. So let's not get it twisted. But there's so much there. I mean, just you're celebrating. You're celebrating the kids' effort. You know, you're measuring. So what you measure gets done. And you're providing incentives too. So you're rewarding kids for that hard work that they put in. So
absolutely
incredible plan. Y'all executed it phenomenally.
We did.
And we
did.
Saw the results.
So should we talk about College Signing Day? I mean.
Oh, shoot. I even forgot about that. Yeah, let's talk.
Come on, Bauer. The culmination of all of this.
I know, right? Okay, so that's like the...
And we've got photos and videos. You're going to have so much on this website after this podcast.
The culmination of it. Oh, yes.
So...
We're going to blow it up. We're going to break the internet.
Yeah, we are. We are. Hashtag break the internet. So... At the end of the year, we wanted to celebrate our students. And aside from the gift cards and the photos on the bulletin board, we wanted to make sure that students in each advisory, as well as whole school, were able to be recognized. And so the top three students in each advisory with the total number of scholarship dollars, so the top three in each advisory, they either won a, there were different levels of prizes, a... What was it? A refrigerator, a microwave, or, gosh, I can't remember the third gift.
Was it a TV or no?
Oh, yeah. A flat screen TV was first prize. Thank you. A refrigerator for their dorm was second prize. And then a microwave for their dorm was third prize. And then whole school, those students who, the top five students with the most number of scholarship dollars, we did a laptop, printer, and ink for first place. Second prize was laptop and printer. Third prize was, I think, an iPad. Fourth prize was an iPod. And I can't remember fifth prize.
But ramen noodles.
No way. It was something cool. But what, you know, we celebrated students in each advisory and in the senior class as a whole. And as you mentioned, there were only 202 of them. So it was really great. It was really awesome. On, I believe it was June 3rd, we had what was called College Signing Day. And we had an awesome intern named Jessica Mulder, who really dug deep to put this whole thing together by creating a survey for our students to fill out, to say what school they were going to. She ordered pennants from each of those schools. Students were able to say, I want, you know, Miss Haynes or Mr. Bauer or Miss Clark to present my pennant. So they got to pick someone in the building that they had a relationship with. And I think what I really loved about that was people were picking everyone. They were picking security guards, coaches, teachers, counselors, lunchroom attendants. I mean, our students formed relationships with so many people over the course of their 4 years that it was really nice for them to be able to kind of thank that person and say, I want you to present me my pennant. And so their name was called. They got to go up on the mic and say, you know, my name is Adrian Haynes and I'm going to the University of Missouri.
Illinois.
I'm going to Mizzou, M-I-Z-Z-O-U. And then they were presented their pennant and they signed it with a Sharpie. And we celebrated. We had a DJ. We had a phenomenal speaker. It was just a really awesome day. Parents came and the entire school was there, freshmen through juniors in the bleachers. And I think my favorite thing about that day was at the end, the juniors were kind of going back and forth about, well, I'm going to win next year. I'm going to win that flat screen. And my advisory is going to have the most dollars. And it got people energized. It was just an awesome day.
Awesome, awesome day. And shout out to DeAndre Weaver, my man, for having the vision for creating this type of day. A lot of times we, you know, by default, we celebrate the athletes, right, when they sign for their post-secondary career. And it's just ironic because we're at these academic institutions and we don't necessarily make a big hurrah for those that are going on to pursue their academic you know, careers. So that's where, you know, the idea was planted from, Mr. Weaver. And we first, just so the listeners get an idea, we first held it in the auditorium, which was smaller, and we held it in the evening, and it was more intimate. It was just seniors, just their parents, in a super, super cool event. But we wanted to flip it around this year. I think y'all decided to do that. The counselors and Jessica decided to change it, and we held it during the day as a whole school assembly. And I love the change because, like Adrian said at the end, you know, it impacted the juniors, but absolutely the sophomores and freshmen too. And as a leader, when you think about systems and structures of your school, what that was planting seeds in all the other younger kids' minds of, this is going to be me in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. And I want to be, you know, I want to be the best, or, you know, I want to be successful. And this is what success looks like. And that's so important too, when we're talking about students of color and students coming in, you know, existing in poverty. And maybe this is their first generation of kids going to college. Like, you're changing family trees, which is just an amazing opportunity. And to model that and create that vision and plant those seeds is just an incredible, incredible opportunity. So we switched to during the day, whole school assembly, planting seeds, like I said, had an amazing DJ. What's his name? DJ Mike, I think.
DJ Mike P.
DJ Mike P, who is so much fun. And, you know, he'd play in between every single student. There was just like crazy music going on, just high energy, which was super fun. Announcing the kids, like Adrian said, that connection with the mentor, the person they connected with the best. And the kids signed that pennant. And I don't remember, Adrian, if you said this or not, but then as school, you know, you get those pennants back, because then in your school, all around every single hallway, and now they're starting to go into classrooms because we have too many, it says that, for some reason, Adrian Haynes, you know, chose Missouri, and there's that pennant, and she signed it, but next to it, and then 10 more, because all those people had, you know, more sense, U of I and Daniel Bauer, DeAndre Weaver, you know, Michael Shores, all those folks that went to U of I, you know, it's just, I mean, that's just what it is, but you celebrate, you put it around, and it's cool because then you recruit in, you bring in families, and they say, hey, I remember that guy, or that's my niece, that's my nephew, that's my cousin, whatever. It's just a fantastic, fantastic event.
Well, and even on the flip side, for students and families, or, you know, prospective or even current, to see a pennant from NYU, Kayla Eubanks is headed to NYU, to say one of our students is at NYU, or, right, you know, one of our students is at Washington University, and it sparks conversation and interest. And I think it really gets kids motivated to say, I'm here, I can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the diversity of institutions, like you said, all around the nation, really unlocks and helps kids be more creative, I think, with their choice of schools they'll attend.
Definitely.
All right, so we're wrapping up. These are easier questions.
Oh, man.
And thank you so much for digging into detail with College Signing Day and also the steps you took to getting the kids to $26
million. No problem.
Adrian, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
Every principal should read right now and why? Oh, that's tough. You said it was easy. I don't know. I might have to say pass on that one.
Okay, we'll pass. What do you do for fun?
I travel. I like to cook. I am real big on family and friend get-togethers. I love to entertain. There doesn't need to be a reason for me to get together with the people that I love. So I really enjoy that.
What's your favorite meal to cook?
I cook a lot of pasta, shrimp pasta. I make this really cool kind of like Italian turkey sausage and bell pepper pasta. My family's big on pasta, turkey, spaghetti. I make a nice chicken Alfredo. So we're a pasta family here.
Sounds good. Sounds delicious. Just for the listeners, you go back to episode number 40 and Dr. Mark French, he's the guy I'm connected to in the Lead Up Tribe. And something that he did, he has a passion for cooking just like Adrian. And as a principal, he raffles off to his families. They can, you know, whatever. What's the word I'm even thinking of? I'm like losing my mind right now, but.
Yeah, I want to get something raffled off. What is it?
Oh, they bid. They make a bid. So they bid on, you know, that type of thing. And, the winning family, he comes to their house, with all his pots and pans, and will make that pasta with shrimp or whatever that special meal is and serve the family that way. So that's episode 40. If you want to go back and listen to that.
Nice.
So that's what you do for fun. I want to destroy absolutely everybody I meet in rock, paper, scissors. And so even though we worked together and never played, ironically, if we were to meet again and play rock, paper, scissors, what would you throw first? And you have to be honest.
I always throw rock first, to be honest.
Good to know. These are would you rather questions, Adrian. So they're really silly, but you have to choose one.
Oh, gosh. There are,
there's totally correct answers, too. Would you rather eat Skittles or M&Ms?
Skittles.
Correct. Just playing. Would you rather be deaf and have no legs or blind and have no arms?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Wait.
Serious.
Deaf and have no legs?
Right. Or blind and no arms.
Blind and no arms. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know.
Got it.
Blind and no. Deaf and have no legs.
Would you rather be able to fly or be able to breathe underwater?
I'd rather be able to fly.
Would you rather live in the world of Dr. Seuss or the world of Star Wars?
Dr. Seuss.
And would you rather wear ugly shoes for a week or wear an ugly hat for a week?
Ooh, ugly hat.
If you could put one message on all school marquees across our nation for one day, what would it say?
It would say, be you, be great.
Love that. And this is the final question. I actually stopped asking it for about 10 episodes. And
so are you bringing it back with me?
I am. I'm bringing it back with you.
Oh,
many people have said, like, I love that question. And I don't know if I just stopped asking because I got bored with it or whatever. But, you know, I just wanted to keep it fresh for listeners. But they love the question. So it is back. You're building a school from the ground up. And you have no limitations in terms of resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So what would be your top three priorities building a school?
Top three priorities. Space. I've been in schools where there isn't space for clubs, teams, sports, teachers to meet and to collaborate and to be together as a school community. So space would be huge. Man, space and... No, there's no limit on resources, you said?
No limit. Only your imagination.
Technology, and the school could transport and, like, be anywhere. Like, one day, so everyone gets to school, and one day we decide that as a school we're going to pick up and go to D.C. and, you know, do project-based learning in D.C. And then one day we pick up and we move our school and everyone in it to South Africa. And then we pick it up and we come back to Chicago for a week. Like, that would be so cool. That would be so cool.
That would be cool. And you're speaking my love language about South Africa, too. So I'd be there in a second.
All right.
Hey, cool. So we talked about the book. I left you off the hook. But I know that you were recently reading an amazing book. And I think leaders should actually read it. So tell us about...
Which one?
The Other West.
Oh. You know what? When you said that, yeah. I stumbled because I was thinking... I didn't think you meant... any book. I thought you meant like an educational leadership book. So that's why I was like,
No, I hate educational leadership books. That's why I want to push my listeners to think outside of the education bubble because there's so much to learn, you know, just from different industries or life experiences.
Right.
And this one is really important, I think, just thinking about access, thinking about poverty, thinking about privilege. And so can you explain The Other West Brown a little bit?
So it's The Other West Moore.
So not The Other West Brown, commonly.
It's not The Other West Brown. What are you thinking of?
Well, I don't know. I just came up with a new title. But The Other West Moore. Okay, cool.
That's okay. So The Other West Moore is a book that I've been reading. And it's basically about, you're so funny. It's about two different kids who grow up blocks from each other, and they have extremely different upbringings as far as family and opportunity, and eventually they cross paths, but the paths that they are on could not be more different. And I'm only about halfway through, so I've got the first Westmore's bio, and I'm almost finished with the second Westmore's bio, so I haven't seen how their paths cross yet, but I can't put it down. I just love it.
So definitely check that out, listeners. We're going to have that linked up in the show notes. Side note, completely unrelated, kind of. Wes Brown is an actor. I just Googled him. I think the female listeners will be quite pleased if they check him out. I actually have not seen any of his movies, including Shadow on the Mesa, Love's Everlasting Courage, We Are Marshall, and Love Begins. Haven't seen any of those movies, but I'm sure he's a fantastic, absolutely fantastic actor.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had Wes Brown in my head, but it's The Other Wes Moore.
I'm going to have to Google Wes Brown now.
Yeah, you should. You'll be pleased. You will be pleased.
And you know, one thing I will say just real fast going back to the book is I think it is a book that not only a book that school leaders shouldn't only read, but I think teenagers and their parents would really benefit from it because it really kind of hones in on just choices and how choices really affect, you know, the outcome of our lives. So I think everyone should read The Other Wes Moore.
For sure. Adrian, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me would be to email me. I can give you my professional and personal email. I'm sure
Whatever you prefer.
Mr. Bauer can put those up. Email is alhanes@cps.edu. My parting words are be good to yourself and to the people around you. Form relationships and just be the best at everything that you do.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Adrian. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Adrian in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you get the highlight of today's episode and the links to all the resources, the best way to connect. Adrian, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better. Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.